Hello, everybody. How was that? Hello. Okay. Yeah, well, you know, how many of you here were last time I spoke? Like, I think plenty of you. And if you guys can remember, last time I came here, I was like, I tried to prepare a message to preach, and then God told me not to prepare a message and to go stand up and be vulnerable. But I said, I'll be back, and I'll prepare a message. So today I knew I was coming. I prepared a wonderful message that you guys are not allowed to hear today. Because Friday morning, I came in to edit the message down and get it, you know, ready for Sunday. And the Lord showed me what he wanted me to tell you. And it had nothing to do with the message I prepared. And I had to make a last minute decision whether I was going to do what he said or I was going to do what I wanted. Because how many of you guys know it's a little scary to stand in public speak? How many of you are afraid of speaking publicly? You'd rather die. That's what they say. It's actually to some people, it's actually worse than death to stand in front. Well, how about public speaking for 40 minutes and not having anything with you and barely even knowing what you're going to say? But this is what God told me to do, and he told me to do it for you. And he also told me that at the end of service, I believe, well, here's what I'm going to say, and then we'll move on. I think God is going to be here. I think he's promised to meet you here, you, and he's coming to deliver you. And at the end of the service, you will have an opportunity to be delivered. Do you know what will keep you from it? You know what keeps you from receiving from the Lord? What is it? Pride. Your pride. That is why we remain the same. And so I am going to title this message, whatever it ends up being, your life is not about you. Your life is not about you. All your attempts to make it about you are the reason why you're so miserable. Are you with me? Every time we try to make our life, here's the other thing. Your life won't even make sense until you realize it's not about you. This is the reality of the Lord. This is when Jesus comes and preaches, deny yourself and take up your cross. What does he mean? He means that old you that lived for you and thought it was all about you has to die. It has to die. And we're going to do baptism later in this service. Do you guys know that baptism, I'm going to talk about this later too, but baptism is a prophetic message. How many of you guys know what that message is? It's prophetic. It's not just like a symbol of what you do when you get saved. It's prophetically declaring that the old you dies in the water. That you die with Christ when you go under the water. The you that you thought you were is dead. And the Lord will raise you up again as a new creation, born again. How many of you could be born again? Again, right? You are saved, but you could be something different. You could, if the Lord would raise you up. So that's what this message is going to be. And it's going to take me a meandering road to get there. Stay with me. Because I'm going to tell a testimony in my life. And every single thing is going to build upon each other until a crescendo at the end. And that's what's going to happen, okay? I don't even know where we're going, but we're going to get there. I believe that's what's going to happen. So this is a story that where the Lord started to plant seeds that my life was not about me. This is how he did it. And it's been an 8-year process. Are you with me? I'm going to start at the beginning, the first seed that he planted. And then we're going to go from there. So it was, if you guys know, I was in the life insurance business all the way up until this week, by the way, where I suddenly find myself unemployed. Do you guys remember that? From, I am following the Lord into the unknown, okay? And I was quite successful where I was, and I didn't want to leave, but when you find out that your life is not about you, you no longer come to the Lord with agendas. And you no longer have strings attached to your obedience. You bring strings with you whenever you believe your life is all about you. And so you can only obey whenever you... The only times you'll ever obey the Lord when your life is all about you is if you agree with God that obedience produces a better life for you. in your natural mind. Does that make sense? So you say, I won't do that. That doesn't make any sense. But if God tells me to do something that I think makes sense, then I'll do it. That's how we do it, right? Am I alone there? Or this is what we do. And he often tells you to do something without telling you how it's going to turn out. So that is where faith comes in. You don't know what's going to happen. He knows. Your trust is that he knows. And all you do is obey. Here's the secret, though. It's the scariest thing you'll ever do. On the flip side, though, it is the most freeing thing you'll ever do because your life is no longer in your hands. When your life is in your hands, there is fear and anxiety. When your life is in the Lord's hands, there's just faith. Are you with me? It melts away. Okay, so I was 2016. I would have been, 24 years old? Just a young buck trying to make it in the world. And, you know, by the way, time flies when you're on the stage, by the way. Like, who knows? I got a clock back there. But so I'm 24 years old. I'm in the life insurance business. And there's a point to the story. You're going to have to bear with me the entire time. And remember that the whole point of this story is that your life is not about you. Once you realize that, you'll actually follow the Lord. It's very hard to follow the Lord when you are actually living for yourself. Are you guys with me? How many of you have lived that? Okay, so we can be aware of this truth. If you haven't lived it, today is the day that you will get to start living this way. Just believe it. Just believe it. Okay? Just believe it. Because there was a day that I wasn't. Okay, so let's keep going. So I'm 24 years old. I'm trying to make it. You know, I was in business. God had proven himself faithful time and time again, even when I got started. Because I got started, I dropped out of college to go do this thing. Because I felt like the Lord was telling me to go do this thing. And the Lord blessed me the entire time. And I never really believed he would continue to bless me, by the way. How many of you guys have been there? Like, the Lord has been faithful, 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 faithful. And you think, I doubt he's going to be faithful next time. That's what we do. That's actually what the Lord told me this week. I'm going to get to the story, okay? I'm going to get to it. This is the problem when you don't have notes. You just ramble. But the Lord told me this week that all of your fears, every single fear you have, every single anxiety you have about the future is spawned and created, if you're honest, you doubt the goodness of God. We don't obey him. We don't follow him. We can go to church and we can sing, God, you're good, but we go home and we don't follow him. Why? Because we think he might not be good to me. Does that make sense? He might not be good to me. I know he's good in the ether, but what about me? He might not be good to me. So I'm going to doubt his words. I'm going to go build my own life. Are you guys with me? This is what we do. This is where we get in trouble. Okay, so I'm 24 years old. I'm in business. And, you know, and a client brings to me her father, and she is telling her father had just received an inheritance from his parents, and it was quite a large sum of money. All of you would be very happy to have received this amount of money that this person received in an inheritance from their father. And I'm in the life insurance business, and the daughter is a client of mine, and saying to her dad, you should buy a policy to pass on a big chunk of that inheritance to me. Are you with me? Yeah, sounds okay. You know, and the father didn't want to. Well, anyway, we'll keep going. So it was this opportunity. How many of you guys have been in business or have been in commission sales or, like, you know, have done things where it's kind of on you? Actually, less hands came up than I thought. That's okay. I guess what I was saying was sometimes the Lord will bring something to you, or have you ever experienced the life-changing business deal? At least you can imagine what that would be. That was this opportunity for me. Are you with me? It was the life, like, you know, if you're like an electrician and you've been doing odd jobs for a long time and then this massive development comes in and they hire you and your company to go do that, that's the life-changing business deal. And that you're believing for, you're trusting God, Lord, see me where I'm at. So what I'm saying is that's what this was going to be if it happened. Are you with me? If it happened. And I'm this little 24-year-old guy. I don't know why they're talking to me. They shouldn't have been talking to me, if we're honest. But here they are talking to me. And so it was about to be the biggest one. This was like early 2016, like January. We tried to get this policy enforced, but he had had some health problems that he didn't know about that came up during the process to apply for this policy. And so that was a shock to him, by the way. I have to go bear, I'm a 24-year-old talking to like this 65-year-old that your kidneys are failing. You know, that's it's like, that's not, I didn't choose this business to do that. And so anyway, we tried multiple insurance companies and none of them would approve him. We had a, so I was like, okay, it's over. It's fine. Thank you, Lord, for the chance, but it's okay. Not a big deal. And it wasn't a big deal to me. Then we had another insurance agent kind of stop by. We're talking with him. He says, I think I've got a company that would do it for him. So we restart the process with his company. And lo and behold, after months, we're talking like from January all the way until October of 2016, this guy gets approved for this thing that I did not think it was possible that he was ever going to get approved for. And we found somebody that would do it. And so I'm sitting here, and the whole time the daughter's been pushing him, and he hasn't really wanted to do it. And I've been like, that's fine. And we get to the very, very end, and it's quite obvious that he's got cold feet, probably isn't going to go through with it. Are you guys with me? He's got cold feet, he's probably not going to do it. And I remember just, by one thing I forgot to say too, was that in 2014, 15, and 16, we're probably the most fruitful, faithful years of my life with the Lord, okay? I went from cultural Christian to real Christian, you guys with me? With real faith, and part of it was I had to trust God to survive because I was this young guy, no college degree, dropped out of school. I liked school, by the way. I dropped out to go do this thing, and I needed him desperately, and that need, how many of you have been, that God has used your desperate need to reveal himself to you? Sometimes he needs to take you there so you can come to him. And so I had a desperate need. So I was, this season, I was closer to God than I've ever been. And I remember coming to the Lord in that season. I've actually told the story before and I need to get moving. But I remember coming and telling the Lord at that time, I was like, Lord, first off, it appears that he might not want to do this thing. And I told him, and from the most sincere heart, truly sincere heart, I was like, I don't want him to do this if it's not going to be good for him to do this. I don't know his future. So I don't know if it's at, you do though. You know if this is a good idea or a bad idea. I don't. I mean, in my viewpoint, I think it's good, but like my perception, we can be very biased people. Especially when you have something to gain. Are you with me? And so I said, I don't want him to do it. If he's not supposed to do it, I want you to stand in the way. And I want you to keep this from happening, no matter what. Because I don't want this to happen if it's not good for him. In that prayer, though, I said, Lord, but if it is good for him and you have a heart to bless me, I will ask you that you step into this situation. And I told the Lord, I said, I will know that if he does this, your hand is upon my life and you are wanting to bless me. Because he has decided he doesn't want to do it. Are you guys with me? There's no reason he should do this anymore. He has decided. So I said, if for whatever reason you move in this situation, I will know. And I don't want to just give lip service to this fact. And I know this sounds weird. I don't know how to explain it. I just felt extremely compelled to say, Lord, I want to put money where my mouth is. And if he shows up, I will know it's you. And I want to make an extravagant offering to you if this goes through. Are you guys with me? I want to make, and it wasn't like I'm trying to buy God. Like, the one thing I don't want you guys to leave this message thinking is that if you go buy a lottery ticket and you pray, Lord, if I win, I'll give you an extravagant gift. That's not the message. That's not how this works, okay? But what I'm saying, that's what I did. And I essentially said I double the tithe minimum. Like, I would do that. So I tithe from a very young age. I would always give. And I would give above and beyond the tithe. But I told the Lord I would double the tithe. We keep going. He's not going to do it. It was in this season of time, too, it was through November. He was not going to do it. Benaiah, my oldest son, at the end of November, early December, he got sick and had two seizures. And that was probably the most terrifying thing as a dad, especially because I didn't know that kids could have seizures out of the blue. So a febrile seizure, like a 60. Ashley and I are young in our 20s. Our kids are having seizures. We think that there's something horribly wrong. They're going to die. Are you guys with me? Like, we're at the lowest point. Like, our kids are going to die. In fact, Ashley saw him have a seizure and thought he was dead. And it's like, that's that. How many of you guys know trauma, like, sticks to you? You can't undo it, okay? So we're at the hospital at LMH. They're doing tests. He has another seizure at LMH. We bring him to Children's. By the way, he's totally fine, just by the way. So that's not the moral of the story. He's totally fine. We bring him to, they bring him to Children's Mercy Hospital. And guess who gets devastatingly sick at Children's Mercy Hospital? Whatever that bug was that he had, I catch. And so I am sick as a dog. And the Children's Mercy Hospital nurses are like, get him out of here. And my dad comes and picks me up and brings me to his house. And I destroy his bathroom for all night. Just destroy it. I am sitting here. My son's in the hospital. I'm as sick as I've ever been. And I'm at the... My son, I don't know what's going on. I'm in another place. I can't even be in the hospital with him. I'm at the lowest point of my life to that point. Are you guys with me? In fear and in pain. And I get a text from the daughter. And she says, Nate, thanks for all you've done. But yeah, he decided he's not going to do it. As I'm sitting here in the morning light, recovering from near death. And I felt a stir in my heart to respond with a text, just simply a simple little reminder, say, yeah, that's totally fine, but just I thought I'd remind you one last time, you know, here's the reason he even wanted to do this in the first place. Real quick, send it back. She responded not too much later and said, and there's a reason for the story, I'm going to get to it. This is not even, I haven't even started the testimony yet, by the way. This has nothing to do with where I'm going. I'm just painting the picture. He said, I totally forgot why I was going to do it. That makes so much sense. I want to do it now. I'm like, okay, God. You do want to bless me. I've doubted you the whole time. I guess you do. So he goes out and does this thing, and I receive the biggest deal, you know, check that I've ever received. Okay, you with me? And it is in the middle of December when it comes in. And I'm worshiping God. I'm praising God. I'm excited to bring double the tithe to the house of the Lord here and just worship before him and celebrate before him for the goodness of God. How many of you ever been there? Just, you can't wait to get there and bring it and celebrate the goodness of God. And it was in the middle of December. Here is where the story starts. Every December, if, for those of you who have been around at Family Faith for a long time, you know that the church... raises a Christmas offering for the pastor and his family. Okay? And that's my parents, by the way. For those of you who don't know. I'm getting parched here, but. And I feel this stir in my spirit that I'm supposed to offer that double the tithe, that additional offering, in that pastor's Christmas offering. And it's a big sum of money. Bigger than I've ever thought I'd ever be able to give. Are you guys with me? It's big. And I wrestled with God about that. Because I said, no, Lord, I promised this to you. I said I was going to give this to you. Is this just me wanting to be selfish for my own family's sake or something? And he brought me to a passage in Mark chapter 7. That is an extremely obscure passage that never made any sense to me. And in that passage, he says he's mad at the religious leaders for pushing the people to do their traditions, the people's traditions, when the traditions of man are actually keeping them from obeying God. And he says this, in Mark chapter 7, verse 10, he says, for Moses told you to honor your father and mother, and that he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you were to have from me is korban, which is a Hebrew word that means a gift to God. It says, whatever profit your parents would have received from you is korban, a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything to help his mother or father, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down. And he brought me to this passage. Are you guys with me? I was about to think in this tradition that I had to give to God, and that means I have to give to the church. And he's saying, no. Don't let your tradition violate what I'm telling you to do. Okay, the word of God. So I said, okay, Lord, I will give the tithe to you, and I will give this other one in this other offering, this Christmas offering. Here's where the story starts. Here is the seed that I realized my life is not about me. And your life is not about you. So it was during that time that my parents had just finished remodeling their house. And how many of you guys know every house remodel that's ever been done has gone over budget? Never, not once, has it gone under budget. It's always over budget. And so I didn't know this fully. I didn't really know that they had to put some of them. And I'm telling the story, and it's involving them, and they're staring me in the face. And I'm not trying to put you guys on the spot, but it's the truth. So they had to get some credit card debt accrued to get this project done that they weren't expecting. And I had no idea how much it was weighing on their hearts. This was all happening without my knowledge. And my mom's a school teacher. She's sitting here thinking, I think I'm going to have to go get a summer job. Well, how are we going to get out of this mess? Are you guys with me? I have no idea what my dad was thinking. I'm sure he was just joyful to be in credit card debt. I'm sure there was no scorn. They're going to really enjoy the marriage class, you know. I'm just kidding. And I had no idea. And so I give it to this offering, and it happens to be almost exactly the overage amount that they had that they needed to pay down the debt. And this is what I'm trying to say. What if the client had gone through in March or April or May or June or July or August or September or October or November? What would I have done? I would have just given it to the church. But he waited, 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 he waited until the middle of December. And then I started to think, what if that entire thing had nothing to do with me? Are you guys with me? What if it had nothing to do with me? This was a seed he planted, that it wasn't for me. Maybe my life wasn't about me. Maybe the things that happen to you, the good and the bad, are not about you. Maybe they're for others to be used by God through you. And I had this seed planted. And then I started to think, and that seed stuck with me in a weird way throughout the years leading up to this year, where I was getting blessed by God, blessed by God, blessed by God, blessed by God, more successful every single year since that date. And if you guys remember my testimony from last week, if you guys weren't here, not last time, but if you guys remember the testimony, it almost made me sick. It was overwhelming. Because, you know why it was overwhelming? Because I thought it was all about me. And I thought it was vanity. Are you guys with me? I thought it was vanity. I didn't know what to do with it. But in my mind, there was this seed planted in 2016 that maybe this wasn't for me. Maybe this wasn't for me. This whole thing wasn't about me. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I was like, then Lord, what is it for? We get all the way through the time frame and we get to where we are at right now. And this summer, the Lord totally, radically transformed my life in every possible way. And he called me into ministry. He filled my heart with faith. I got born again. Are you guys with me? My life was transformed again in a new way. And it was during that time I'm sitting here with a call of God to go into ministry, and I don't know what that means. And everyone I talk to is asking me, okay, Nate, you're leaving the business world in which I was more successful than I ever imagined. And you're going into ministry and you have no idea what you're doing. And so they would come up to me and they'd ask me, Nate, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you going to do? Do you know yet what you're going to do? Do you know what you're going to do? And I kept on saying, no, I don't know what I'm going to do. I think that's the point. And I had a hard time expressing this to them, that for all of my life, I have had an agenda to do in my life. And I brought God along with me. Are you guys with this, sir? I had strings attached to any obedience. There had to be something in it for me to obey that I could recognize. Okay? And so in other words, what I'm saying is he called me to enter into this life where this time frame where for the first time in my life I didn't know what I was doing. And I think that was the whole point of surrender before the Lord. There is no surrender if you know what's going to happen after you do it. Like, the whole idea was when Abraham brings Isaac up the mountain to offer him before the Lord, he's doing it out of obedience. He doesn't know there's going to be a ram in the thicket. He hasn't read the story. He doesn't know. He thinks it's going to cost him everything. That's always what surrender is. You think it's going to cost you everything. And then the Lord provides. You don't obey because you deny and doubt the Lord's goodness. This is what happens. This is the truth. Are you with me? Okay, so here I am, and it's already 10:48. See, time flies. And we've got baptisms to do. But okay, I got to wrap this up. What I'm trying to say is, in this time frame, I'm finally doing something that's not all about me. Are you guys catching this? For the first time in my life, I've decided to do something that's not all about me. This is a good news. But I was meeting with a pastor friend of mine. This was last Friday, not 2 days ago, but the week before. And he asked me, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know. I think that's the point. I'm tired of asking the question. So I felt afterwards to say, I think I need to start asking other people, what am I supposed to be doing? I wanted them to speak prophetically into me. I wanted to hear God's voice speak into me through another person, not just me always answering the question. So I asked him what I was supposed to do, and he never got back to me. That was a Friday. I decided to fast before the Lord last week, Tuesday and Wednesday. I was fasting to God, seeking God, right? Seeking the Lord. And I was like, Lord, please show me what I'm supposed to be doing as I fast before you. Like, that's I'm seeking you out in this. And so Tuesday, I don't hear anything. Wednesday, I don't hear anything. It's Wednesday night. And you know who texts me? It's the pastor that I had talked to on Friday, asking him to give me a word from the Lord on what I'm supposed to do. And he gives me a point of four things. 1, 2, 3, 4. All of them have nothing to do with me. He says, pursue a personal relationship with Jesus like you've never had before. That was confirmation to me because I had never had the power in myself to wake up early and pursue God. Ever since the Lord changed my life, I'm excited to wake up at 5:30 and pursue God. I don't even have to try. That's called being born again. The desires of your heart change. He said, pursue Ashley. Pursue your wife. I said, yes. My job and the pursuit of money stole from her, and I'm going to give it to her back. Are you guys with me? This is the reality. Pursue your kids. I said, yes, I stole from my kids in the pursuit of money. I'm giving it back. Are you guys with me? 1, 2, 3, all confirmation. The fourth one, also confirmation, plug into a local church body and give yourself to it completely. And I said, that was confirmation. I just didn't know what that meant fully. And so I said, okay, do you notice all four of them have nothing to do with me and there's no benefit for me in any real way? That's the whole point. Your life is not about you. Your whole life that you have tried to live for yourself is why your life is in shambles. It's why I was so depressed. When you live for you, you're depressed. You're anxious. You have a hard time upholding everything. So he's, go do these things. I then got a word from the Lord in that moment that I need to go talk to my dad and ask him, what do you think I should do? Here's where the story ends. So Wednesday night, I asked my dad to go to lunch, breakfast thing Thursday. You know, I'm practically unemployed, so I got time at this point. And we meet, and I say, Dad, what do you think I'm supposed to do? And then he moves into a story. And he said that the Lord told him, and I'm going to hold it together for you. Friday when the Lord told me to preach this, I cried the whole day. Couldn't stop. But he said, Nate, For the last 10 years ago, the Lord started to put something on my heart that there's all these other small church pastors who are discouraged and they're having a hard time. How many with small church pastors, there's not multiple pastors on staff typically. So what do they have to do? They preach every Sunday, every week, 52 weeks a year. Every week. I know people think that pastors only work for 30 minutes a week. That's the joke. But you know how hard it is to come up with new content every week? It is exhausting. And he had a heart to go help other small church pastors. But how can he help them when he has to be here every Sunday? And he said for 10 years he's been waiting on the Lord, but he's been wondering, what is Nate going to do? Are you with me? What is Nate going to do? I can hold it together. Okay. What is Nate going to do? And in my mind, is Nate going to go after money? Or is he going to go after the Lord? Are you with me? Okay. What is your God? Really? Who is pulling the strings in your life? Really? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it your will, your desires, your desperation to put your ideal life together in your own power? Which one is it? Are you guys with me? I know I keep saying that. It's a blank stares across the board. And so he tells me his story of the last 10 years. What is Nate going to do? I had nothing to give during that time frame. He would plant seeds. Nate, anytime you want to come speak on Sunday. Anytime this. He said, Nate, you know, if I was to die, would you want to take over the church? And I said no. Do you know why I said no? I was living for myself. It was all about me. There was nothing in it for me. Do you guys see this? There was nothing in it for me. I couldn't think of a reason why I would. You know what was missing? Love. It was love. Because love doesn't seek its own. Love doesn't do it when there's things in it for love. Love lays itself down when they know there's nothing in it for them. Trusting only God to uphold. That's what love does. That's the calling of God on your life. Not to live for you, but to live to love. And it only counts when there is nothing in it for you. Are you guys? This is it. And so he's saying, Nate, I've been waiting for you. And it was, and then he starts talking about, you know, we didn't even get into it too much, Dad, but he starts talking about, like, financially, I mean, the church can't afford to keep two pastors. There's money. We're on a gravel road, folks. We're not swimming in money. And so he's sitting here, he's trying to find a solution for how it could work. Maybe he could stay on until he's 66, 67, 70. You know, we'll figure something out. He can get Social Security. He can do this and that. And I'm like, Dad, the Lord has provided. All the money and the success of the business that I thought was for me, it was for you. It wasn't for me. I don't need money, at least for right now, for quite some time. I don't need it. And then I knew, for the first time, everything was redeemed. Everything made sense. It was true. It wasn't about me. The whole time, he had a plan. He had a plan. And he was working it out, and it was going to be ready whenever I surrendered before him. Does this make sense? Now, we don't know the plan while we're doing it. The question is, When will you decide to love? Because then your life will make sense. When you decide to love and there's nothing in it for you and you realize your life is not about you. So here we are, we're about to do baptism. I already said baptism is prophetic. It's prophetic in nature. It is the biggest barrier to love is what? Pride. The biggest stronghold in your life that is going to keep you from living and following God is your pride. You will not be able to do it while you are in pride. Do you guys agree with this? You can't do it. You must humble yourself before the Lord under his mighty hand and agree with him that your life is not about you anymore. And the truth is, that's the whole point of baptism. The whole point of baptism is that the you that was living for you dies and you become like Christ. Do you guys know that Christ did not do one thing in his entire life to gain? Zero. He did nothing for himself. All he had was, everything he did was for you. Everything. Not a single thing he did for himself. We build strongholds in our heart and in our life to protect ourselves, do we not? And Jesus didn't protect himself. He gave all he had for love because of you, because he loved you more than he loved himself. There was not a single human that ever lived on this planet that had the power to live for himself quite like Jesus had. And he chose to do it only for you. And he says, come follow me. Let the old man die in the water and be born again. Be delivered from your pride. So the Lord told me to do something unique, and we can go ahead and prepare for baptism. But I believe, I said this at the beginning, I believe the power of God is here to set you free if you would lay down your pride before him. Do you believe this? The one thing, the only thing that keeps you from actually building a real relationship with God is your pride. And so what stands before you is, will you lay it before him? And so we have a few people who are going to get baptized on schedule, but the Lord told me that if anyone here desires to be free, let him or her come to the water. You might say, Nate, I don't have clothes. Good. It will mean more for you to drive home wet. Let it be a reminder. Let it be a reminder of your decision to lay down your pride. Only those who are humble will come, who humble themselves for the Lord. So I'm going to invite anyone who wants to come, as we sing, as we worship him, this door will be open. And I would love any time during this service, any time during the baptism, any time for anyone who wants to be set free to come in here and be set free and lay your life down and go under the water with your old life and come up brand new. Are you guys okay? Come in. The doors will be open for you.
No longer I who live, but Christ in me, for I've been born again. My heart is free, the hope of heaven before me, the grave behind. Hallelujah, you brought me back.
Just don't let your pride keep you in bondage anymore. Come lay it down before him in the water and be made new, be delivered and born again. This message is available for anyone who would lay down. Come into the room. We will anoint you and you'll be set free anytime.
What age and when did I start following Jesus? I started truly following Jesus in the last year or so. I was raised in the church and I've known about Jesus my whole life, and I had circumstances and incidences that happened in my life that turned me away and angry at God, that God had nothing to do with, and I didn't know at that time, but I blamed him. I spent most of my life, adult life and teenage life, substituting God's love with drugs and alcohol to fill an empty gap in my heart that I could never seem to fill. Just recently, 2 years ago, I stopped abusing drugs and alcohol, and I started working a program and got clean for my family and for myself. And within the program, I was told to find a higher power. At first, I didn't really want to come back to the church or to Jesus. I was still angry, but working my steps, I let a lot of tension and anger that I had from the past, and I put it out there and I got rid of it. And so I started coming back to church. I wanted to find my faith again. I remember being a very happy kid when I was following Jesus. You know, after leaving Jesus, I was very angry and I was not happy. So having Jesus as my savior now in my life has changed astronomically, just huge. I'm no longer angry like I used to. That void I was trying to fill with drugs and alcohol is gone because I have Jesus there. And a lot of stress in my life is laid off my shoulders now because I no longer am trying to do my will, but now I'm trying to follow what God's will is for me. And that has given me so much peace in my life now and less stress. The baptism to me is very important because this is me surrendering to God and to Jesus and letting them know I am all in on my faith and my walk with Jesus now. And I refuse to stray away like I did. I know there is no other truth but Jesus and God. And that's where I want my life to be. I want to be the best husband I can be for my wife. I want to be the best father for my children. And I want my children to go in life knowing Jesus' love for them that I threw away and I missed out on in a lot of my life. I know now my life would be completely different than it is today if I would have just stayed on my path with Jesus. You know, like that DC Talk song, some people got to learn the hard way. I was one of them. My walk with Christ is everything to me now. I am grateful that he never let me go and he never left me. I'm grateful to have the life I have now. I'm grateful to be alive. There are so many times I should have been dead with the amount of alcohol and drugs I was partaking in. But by the grace of God, I am alive today and I can love him. And I'm here to love my family and be the best father and husband I can be. And I thank God for that every day.
My name is Brittany Bailey. I truly got saved April of this year. I was introduced to faith when I married my husband Joshua almost 9 years ago, right here in this church. We attended church for a while with his family and even dedicated our daughter Melody, but eventually we stopped coming and I lost the relationship with the Lord that I was trying to build. Since then, I had been searching for something. I spent those years depressed, lost, and hopeless. Nothing in my life really changed, and I was a firm non-believer for a while. But God loved me enough, he continued to break down my walls. One day, it was just like Jesus was standing next to me with his hand on my shoulder, like I could feel his presence. All of a sudden, my stubbornness and disbelief was just gone from me. My life has now changed in the way of how I feel inside. I feel an indescribable love and comfort. This baptism is my way to show that the old me is gone and I can finally heal and live my new life with Jesus as my savior. I thank you all for being here to witness. I've been born again, had to die to find
wash away my sin.
Hi, my name's Melody. I started loving Jesus at the age of 8. Having Jesus as my Savior has changed my life because He has taken away my fears, and now I know that I am protected and nothing can hurt me. And He is always protecting me. And this baptism means a lot to me. 10,000 galaxies. And that's how much I love Jesus.
I've been baptized.